When I was preparing for today, you know, it seemed good to the Lord and to me to speak about Thanksgiving. Of course, I didn't want to just speak about Thanksgiving because of the holiday, but I believe that God wanted us to consider the benefits of being thankful. Okay, you know, out of the whole year, there's one day out of 365 days that our nation decided to give as a day of Thanksgiving. And that is awesome that a country would take that time, acknowledge a time of Thanksgiving. And it's important to the Lord, too. You'll see that many things occur because of a thankful heart, or because that we're thankful. And if you ever say somebody does something for you and you say thank you, you know, it just kind of gives them, okay, it was worth doing it for them. And I don't know about you, but when I do something and I don't get any thanks for it, it just takes all the joy out of it. You know, you send somebody a gift or something and you never hear back from them. It's like, well, why did I even think about them? Or why did I spend my money on that? And, you know, they're not even thankful. They're not grateful for it. Well, you know, it works in the spiritual world, too. But first of all, I want us to consider some examples of how not to be thankful. So let's turn, first of all, to the book of Luke. And we're going to be reading 9 through 14. But I'll just ask the Lord to guide my words, which Jean-Louis and I have already done that. But you can agree with me. So, Father God, we just thank you for this day. And we thank you for those that have come out to be here to praise and worship you and to hear your words. And we just yield ourselves to be your mouthpiece. You speak through us, Lord, your words, not ours, so that we can give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. So Luke, the 18th chapter, and starting verse 9, we're going to read about the Pharisee. And Jesus is telling this parable here. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Now, the Pharisee was the one who's supposedly godly and following the law and doing everything right. And the tax collector is the lowest of the low, that is known for stealing from everybody, and he is just a sinner. So the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself. Here's his thankfulness. God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector here. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now listen to what Jesus had to say about all this. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So Jesus was saying, if you're just thanking God for how good you are, forget it. That means nothing in the eyes of God. In fact, if anything, it'll get you demoted. You're trying to raise yourself up. Well, get ready for a slide. Okay? But if you humble yourself before the Lord. So in a way, this man that humbled himself was thanking God for God's greatness and goodness and calling on the mercy of God. So he was the one that was actually thankful. Not the one who was saying, I thank God. He wasn't thanking God. Okay, so let's also look at Romans chapter 1. Turn with me there. We're going to read verses 20 and 20 to 22. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's no one that has an excuse not to praise God, is what he's saying. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. So this is how not to thank God. They did not glorify him. They did not thank him. All the things that God had done and created for them, they did not acknowledge the goodness of God. They did not glorify him. So they thought they were all wise, but God said they became fools. You can look around at the world today and see that everywhere. But we should not focus our thanksgiving on all those things, should we? We should focus our thanksgiving on the goodness of God. It should be full of rejoicing. If you're thankful, you're going to be rejoicing. You're not going to be downhearted. You're not going to be discouraged. Because if you're thankful, you are full of faith. You are recognizing there is an almighty God who has you in the palm of his hands. And no matter what's going on in your life, he's there to help you and take care of you. All you have to do is read the word and you'll see it. So if ever you're having a down day, start looking in the word, right? Well, we don't want to dwell on the negative. So I'm going to take you to consider David, who is most probably the most thankful person that's ever been recorded. I don't know of any other person that thanked God so much. And he pleased the Lord. I mean, you could tell all throughout his life. So first of all, we're going to read some of the Psalms that David wrote. If ever you're wondering what to praise the Lord for, just start reading some of the Psalms. It'll lift you up. Okay? And even if he's having a hard time, he may start out, oh, woe is me, Lord. But by the end of the chapter, he's singing the praises of God and he's lifted up again. So we can all learn from that. Amen? Amen. So let's turn to Psalms 103. I'm going to try to get over there myself. And we're going to start right there in the first verse. David starts out saying, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. He's speaking to himself. He's telling himself, don't listen to what your old man is trying to tell you, but you bless the Lord. you choose. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Oh, he didn't believe in getting old, did he? I need to read that one every now and then. But he said, I'm going to bless the Lord. I'm going to be renewed all the time. Verse 11, for as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers we're just dust. He knows we're going to make mistakes. But guess what? We're his kids. He loves us anyway. All we have to do is acknowledge it and come to him. And he says, come on, let's lift you up. We're ready to lift you up again. Thank God that he has a good remembrance, huh? Yeah. So let's turn to Psalm 118. I hope you don't mind me just reading some word to you. It's better than me saying something. The word speaks for itself. So Psalms 118, the first verse. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. See, he's encouraging himself in the Lord. He's talking about the mercy of God. The mercy of God endures forever. He's always willing and able to forgive and to strengthen and to help us. So, you know, he told Peter to forgive 70 times 7. Well, how much more would God do it? So if we keep falling how many times in a day and we keep coming back to him and saying, oh, Lord, I call on your mercy. He says, I'm right here. I never left you. And he forgives. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the 24th verse. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice in it and be glad. That is something we choose to do ourselves. Doesn't matter what we're going through. It's the day that the Lord's made. So why shouldn't we rejoice? Why shouldn't we be glad? If we look at the word and focus on the fact that he is Almighty God, that no matter what we're going through, we will get through. He will be there to help us. And remember all the promises that God has given us. Look at verse 29. He ends again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. You can't get away from it. He's just there. His mercy is always there. Turn to Psalms 136. Verse 1. Here we go again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Now, if you've read this chapter, it's got 26 verses, and he recounts item after item after item, and each time he says, for his mercy endures forever. And he's praising the Lord. He's thanking God for each one of these things that happen. And you know, in a way, he made a list. He made a list of all the good things that God had done. And, you know, it'd be good for us to do the same thing. We can go home after church and write out a list. See how many points we can get on it. Remember Shelley on Wednesday night saying how Julia, for school, she was supposed to write 10 items she was thankful for. Well, she came up with about 45. Mama said 46, but Julia told me it was 45. Well, if that little thing can come up with 45, surely we could come up with a few. Amen? So, I challenge you to try it. So let's consider some ways to be thankful, okay? Because it's not all just our doing, you know, what we're saying and praising God. But that is number one on my list, is by praising God. Turn to Psalms, the 22nd chapter. And verse 3, it says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." That's one way to be thankful, is by praising God. And as we know, when we praise God, he inhabits the praises of his people. If we're feeling like we're being all weighed down by every care and everything that's happening on this earth, and all the, you know, there's some days where you just feel like the whole enemy is just crowding in on you and all that, well, start praising God for what you can. Maybe, I mean, it may be hard for you to see something, but just take something little and start. And then that sparks something else. Before you know, God himself has come and he's sat down there with you. Amen? All of a sudden you feel his presence instead of all these other forces of this old world. So you can change your atmosphere. You can change what's going on by allowing God to come and inhabit your praise. Then Psalms 147. Then we're going to read verse 1. "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful." You know, when we come together and we praise and worship the Lord, it's good. There's a unity that occurs when we're all praising and worshiping the Lord. It's good to sing praises. And you know what? If you miss out on the praise and worship of God, you've missed a very important part of the service. I'm just throwing a little plug in on being on time. If you miss praise and worship, that's our praise and worship to God. It's our way of saying, "Thank you, God." And it's a way of inviting him into our life and preparing us to hear the word. So I know there's times when it's hard to get somewhere on time, but let's make it a point of being there. Make it a point of being there 10 minutes early, then you'll never be late to get started. Amen? And Psalms 107. Turn there with me. I hope you're all turning. I hear some pages going. 107, because it's good to look at the word. 107, verses 21 and 22. "Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing." So this is a psalmist's call to praise and to worship the Lord, to give thanks unto God. Now turn to Revelation, the fourth chapter. We're going to get to see what happens when we're in heaven. We're talking about worshiping the Lord. We're going to start reading on verse 8 through 11. So here, around the throne, we have four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest night or day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." In other words, forever and ever and ever and ever, God Almighty is holy. "Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, 'You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things.'" He's our creator. "And by your will they exist and were created." So each one of us was created by his will, by his desire. And so the things that are created should praise and worship the Creator. You know, we know that God made man because he wanted someone to fellowship with. Well, why was that? Because he loved fellowship. He loves our fellowship. He wants to have communion with us. He wants to have that relationship with us. And if we have it with him, we're going to know him more and more. We're going to sense him more and more. And I don't know, things are just going to work out a lot better in your life if you have that relationship with him. So when we worship him, we are partaking of the same thing that we're going to be doing in heaven, the same thing that the angels do. We can be an angel here on earth. Oh, I'm kind of crazy, huh? Okay, so now we're going to see how we can be thankful by giving our life to him, by purifying ourselves. Just turn back just a page or two to 1 John 3. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it didn't know him." They don't know us. They can say all kinds of things about you. They don't know you. "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." We don't even know what we're going to really look like in heaven, do we? "But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." All we know now is looking through a glass darkly, but we're going to see him face to face. "And everyone who has this hope that we're going to see him, we have this hope in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. In other words, we let go of those things that might contaminate us from the world. We don't do all the things that the people in the world do because we want to be separate. We want to be pure and holy before the Lord. We want to be able to come into his presence at any time without having to get rid of a bunch of junk in order to do it. Because we know sin cannot enter into the presence of God. But praise God, all it takes is, dear Lord God, forgive me, I need your help. And he's just right there with arms open wide. He's right there to take us in because he values our fellowship. He loves us. He gave his life for us, right? So, in return, we should give our life. And part of giving our life is purifying ourselves, separating ourselves. That doesn't mean that you become a snob and don't say hello to your neighbor who you know is a sinner. That's not what he was talking about. Amen? By giving ourselves to others, we can be thankful. Turn to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And we're going to read verses 10 and 12. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. For the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. So when we're giving to others, it causes other people to be thankful. So it's a way of thanking God by helping out others who then in turn thank God for what we've done and how we've helped them. So it's like a cycle. You know, God's given to us, we give to others, they give back to God, who gives to us, back and forth, you know. I mean, it's never ending. God just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. You're never without, because it always comes back, multiplied, pressed down, shaking together, running over. Hallelujah. So when we're thinking of others, we're actually thinking of the Lord. We're actually thanking the Lord for our abundance. Amen? And then by our trust, in other words, our faith. Psalms 37. God is good. Okay, we're going to start at verse 3. This is an awesome passage of Scripture, Psalms 37. You ought to take it and just read it sometime. But we're going to just start in verse 3 through 7 here. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. And then the first part of 7 especially says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. So there's some key words here. It says trust, delight, commit, and rest. Those four things follow each other. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. And rest in the Lord. All of those are all built on trust. Our belief in God. And if we trust him, we can trust him with every detail of our life. And we can delight ourselves. You know, that's where our strength comes. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, when you're truly in joy, you're delight. You have delight. Not only that, you're a delight to be around. You draw people unto you because you have joy. And it's not just a happiness that goes away with whatever's happened in your life. It's something strong, an anchor. It's something that holds you through no matter what you're going through. Say, well, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can go through this. I know it's tough, but I don't have to be down. I don't have to be despondent because he's giving me strength. It's his strength. I'm delighted in the Lord. I'm committing my way unto him, and therefore I can just rest. I can rest in the Lord. All of this is a way of giving thanks unto the Lord because he knows then, okay, they're resting in me. What greater thanks could we have to give to the Lord just to say, okay, Lord, I've committed it to you. I'm resting in you. You're bigger than I am. You see more than I see. And I can just rest in you. What a way to thank God for what he is doing for us. Amen? So if we look back at Psalms 22 and verses 4 and 5, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. You can trust the Lord and you'll never be ashamed because he will always come through. He always keeps his promises. Amen? So turn to Proverbs now. That's not too far away. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Don't we know that we need the direction of the Lord? How much more to be thankful to the Lord than to acknowledge him and say, Lord, you guide my path. You guide my way. You created me. You know which way I should go. You give me the ability and I can do it. Then we're not just out there on our own trying to blindly go through the fog wondering, okay, what's going to happen next? Well, it doesn't matter what happens next because he's guiding. Amen? He shows you where to step. So, in conclusion, I'm not keeping you long today. In conclusion, it goes back to not focusing on ourselves. Amen? And not focusing on our problems, but exalting our God and being thankful for all of his goodness that he's given to mankind and to us in particular. It causes us to rejoice when we think of these things. We can go around rejoicing in the Lord. It gives us hope. It gives us purpose. When we praise and thank our Lord, then He comes and inhabits the praises of His people. And then we are all greatly encouraged and strengthened and able to go from day to day to day. So, amen.